Well, we finally now came to the last service of this series of gospel meetings. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to be among you for the last several days. I've enjoyed being your speaker, and I hope and pray that what we had to consider since Wednesday evening was helpful to you in some way. And that is always the case when I have an opportunity to speak, and I hope that this afternoon for a little while, I might be able to say some words to you that might encourage you along the way. I want to invite your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We'll begin reading there in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and beginning in verse 5. The Apostle Paul says, "Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates." For a little while, I want to talk to you about the words that the Apostle Paul, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote to those at Corinth in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And these words we find are a continual warning to us. It's a continual encouragement to do something, even if we are members of the body of Christ for many, many years. I want to talk to you about some things. I want to leave you with a few thoughts before I leave you and go home. And I hope and pray that these words will be encouraging to you. We've had a wonderful day so far together, I believe. Enjoyed time with you this morning and in worship to God on this being the Lord's Day. Enjoyed time this afternoon with you. And I realize that as we get to the end of the day, the afternoon portion of the day, after we've eaten, I realize how that kind of weighs on us. So lend me your attention for just a few minutes, and I will try very hard to be merciful this afternoon. I just want to give you some thoughts that might encourage you along the way, as the Apostle Paul said, examine yourself. First of all, the word examine comes from a word which Mr. Thayer defines as to try, to make a trial of, or test. Thayer explains it in this passage to mean, number one, it is for the purpose of ascertaining a man's quality. Number two, it is to determine what a man thinks. And number three, it determines how a man will behave himself. The Apostle Paul's purpose in examination is to see if those at Corinth are still considered in the faith, whether they are still regarded as faithful disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when Paul says to examine yourself, he said that there are two things that you will come up with, one or the other. You will either be in the faith or you will be reprobate. There is no in between. The word reprobate here comes from a word which, according to Mr. Thayer, says it is not standing the test or it is not approved. And really, that's the point. The Apostle Paul is saying, examine yourself whether you are going to be approved or whether you are going to be not approved. In fact, Paul doesn't say that there's any gray area there. He said you're either in the faith or you are not standing the test. A person either has Jesus Christ or he is reprobate. A man cannot possess both of them at the same time. But the exhortation is for a man, each individual, to make this self-examination to ascertain what his true condition is. You know, Paul uses the present tense or the present term for the verb to examine to denote a continuous activity. You know, if Paul would have said, make sure that you have examined yourself, then a person could fulfill what the Apostle Paul was saying simply by doing it one time. As long as you did it one time, then everything would be fine. But that's not what Paul said. Paul uses the present term or the present tense for the verb to examine to denote a continuous activity, something that is to go on and on as we examine our life. This is often hard to do. It really is. It is easier for me to examine you than it is for me to examine me. You know, I don't want to talk about my faults. I really don't want to do that. I can't imagine somebody rising up one day and saying, you know what I want to do today? What I want to do more than anything is I want to take a look at my life and I want to examine and mention all of my faults. No, that's not what we do. It's easier to examine the faults of somebody else and point out the faults of somebody else than it is to point out our own faults, our own shortcomings. You know, when my wife sometimes has heard me preach this sermon over the years, and I mentioned that I might want to examine her faults. I might want to think about Tina's faults. Of course, when she's in the audience, I always add, if she had any. But it is easier to examine the faults of somebody else than it is ourselves. Because when you examine your own faults, you have to take an introspective or retrospective view of your life. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you do that, sometimes the answers aren't very nice. Sometimes it's not very fun when we really take a look at ourselves and when we really see what we are. Sometimes we garnish our own traits and tarnish the traits of others. But you know, sometimes life has a way of bringing us back to reality when we do. I don't know about you, but I can guarantee you in my life, the times when I thought greater and bigger of myself than I ought to think, which goes against what the Word of God says, when I think more highly of myself than I ought to think, and I start thinking that I pretty much got it all figured out, and I'm doing just great and everybody else is basically not getting it, every single time that I have had that kind of attitude, somehow, some way, I don't know how, but this old world has a way of taking you and ripping you right back down and getting your feet back on the ground. Doesn't life do that? Life has a way of taking our feet and planting them firmly back on the ground when we're flying around feeling awfully good about ourselves. Let me illustrate it like this with a story that was told one time about a man that was a really important man in the business world. This man made a lot of money. This man had great wealth. This man was a very important man. He was a CEO of a major corporation. And everybody was really at his beck and call. This was a very important person. He was also very important in his own mind, too. One day, he was in his fancy car with his wife, and they're driving down the road, and he looks down, and he sees that he's about to run out of gas, so he realizes he needs to get off very hurriedly, and so he does. And he pulls off the road, he pulls into a gas station, he pulls up to the gas pump, he jumps out of the car, he runs toward the gas station attendant, he barks out a couple of orders, and into the little mini-mart portion inside, waiting for the gas station attendant to be completed or be finished putting the gas in the car. While this is going on, he looks out the window and he sees that his wife is having a rather animated conversation with this gas station attendant. You know, the first thing he thought of is, that's odd. What possibly could she have in common with him? Wonder what they're talking about. But he waited until the gas station attendant was done, and the gas station attendant put the hose back up. He paid his bill. He very hurriedly goes out to his car. He jumps in his car. He shuts the door. He starts it up. And before he gets out of the parking lot, he stops and he turns to his wife, and he says, honey, I couldn't help but wonder, I couldn't help but notice that you were having a rather animated conversation with the gas station attendant. Do you know him? She said, yeah, I know him. Well, how do you know him? She said, well, we went to school together. And he said, oh, you mean maybe you had some classes together, maybe you were in association, maybe some friends, maybe a friend of a friend? And she said, no, actually, we dated rather extensively. And he stops the car and he turns and looks at her and he says, oh, honey, I'm so happy for you. And she said, well, how so? He said, I'm so happy for you that I came along. Because if I hadn't come along, you might be married to a gas station attendant instead of a CEO like me. And she looked him right in the eye and said, honey, let me clarify something for you. See, if I'd have married him, he'd have been the CEO and you'd have been the gas station attendant. Sometimes life has a way of getting our feet back on the ground when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. In a sincere effort to examine ourselves, we need to ask ourselves the following. Number one, ask ourselves, am I in the faith? A person is not in the faith in a separate and apart way than the Word of God says that a person is in the faith. I realize today that people want to have a relationship with the Lord. Surely everybody wants to. But notice what the Apostle Paul says, and that's what we're concerned about. It's what the Word of God says. Notice what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 in verses 26 and 27. Paul said, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You know, put on Christ means clothe themselves with Christ. In other words, for a person to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, for a person to have Jesus Christ in them, is for them to be in Jesus Christ. And that happens, according to Paul, at baptism. Also, I want to be a member of the church that Jesus promised that he would build in Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 through 18. And I'll just paraphrase one part of that discussion. Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then Jesus said, "And I will give you also the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I today want to be a member of the church that Jesus said he was going to build. And it was going to be built or based upon the rock. And the rock was the statement of fact, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In Acts the second chapter, when the very first gospel sermon was being preached, you remember that in verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says when it was being preached for the very first time, and there were Jews, devout men gathered there, out of every nation under heaven. And this sermon was being preached. And in verse 36 of Acts 2, the Bible says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what